Hello everybody, welcome back to the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host Khalid, and my guest today is Rihanna, and we talk about a lot of interesting things, so stay tuned. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
It's a beautiful day, right?
It is gorgeous, yes. Beautiful autumn.
It's perfect. Yeah, so tell the people quick who you are, I think then we can start right away. Introduce yourself.
Just a normal, ordinary human, just like you guys. Known for fitness and yoga, and coming out of Australia, Tasmania, and currently living in Europe, not too far from you.
Yeah, that's true. Switzerland is my neighbor country, so it's definitely great for some future projects. And tell the people quick about your background, what you do. I mean, we all know you into fitness and yoga, and you're in a very good shape, but how did you start? How did you come up with all that?
I think just from a young age, my father was very into sport. And so the only time I got to spend with him was sitting on the back of a bicycle, 70-kilometer bike rides, or tennis, or swimming. And so that started my journey through swimming. And then I went into running and then water polo. And swimming, running, and water polo, I competed in state, national, and international levels. And then from there, it kind of closed down. When you start to work, you know, you require a lot of time. So unless you're someone that's blessed with a financial or a sponsorship, then it's not so easy for the average bear to be able to participate in a high-end sport as an adult. So I then did a qualification in a personal training back in 2000. And during that time, I also worked as an administrator, executive assistant, and then trained professional golfers with my own business and ended up on a cruise ship. And then from there, the yoga started to come into it after being a mother and those types of adventures.
Wow, that's definitely a lot. So you always had also a little bit the competitiveness in you, right?
I don't call myself competitive with others, but I'm competitive with my own self to be better. Yes.
So you always want to improve. You always want to strive
yes.
to get the next step, the next goal. And when did you realize you can maybe become a yoga teacher, in general, a fitness teacher, and help some people?
I think I always wanted to be in sport. I mean, my first wish was to be an athlete. I wanted to be like in the Olympics for water polo, and I wanted to be the world cross-country champion runner. They were my dreams, and Ironman, to be the Hawaiian Ironman, but financially and those types of things, time-wise, it wasn't available. So then my next kind of venture was to work within fitness. So that's why I did my qualifications in personal training. And then after that, I spent about 5 to 10 years working in administration and so on and so forth with that on the side. And I realized that I still loved sports. So when I kind of had a intermedium in my life around 25, I decided to work on a cruise ship because I wanted to travel. I wanted to learn about myself, and that was sport orientated. So that allowed me to get a taste of yoga. Actually, I got trained by a lady who said that she had taught Madonna, and we did like this week course in yoga, and I hated it. Absolutely hated
it. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. But love and hate come together always. So over time, with transitioning from, you know, that hard sport where you're always go, 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 like running and so on, I started to realize the benefits of utilizing my mind and sitting still in certain types of movements for a little bit. And also understanding that yoga doesn't have to be just like Warrior II. You could have some calisthenic space to it, and you can make it your own. So then kind of, I guess after my daughter was born, I started to work in towards yoga because I had to stay home and care for her, and started to work online, sharing my fitness, regaining my fitness, as well as learning yoga as well.
Now that's very interesting that you say that with the calisthenics, because I feel like so many yogis, they always just do yoga and they're very thin, but also not really strong in general. They're strong in the yoga poses. They can hold the handstand and everything. But in my opinion, if you want to be a complete athlete, doesn't matter if you want to compete or just for yourself, you have to do different exercises, different variations, and calisthenics or some sort of strength and conditioning definitely helps a lot. And for the people out there listening or watching now, when they will see your Instagram, they can see you focus also a lot on strength and conditioning. Is
yeah.
that very important for you?
I think yoga is very linear and it's beautiful, but its trajectory for the body in the traditional terms can be quite challenging because we don't want to work on a linear base. Our body needs to be in a rounded facet of all the disciplines, you know, speed, endurance, strength, as you said, power. And to be able to create a great healthy yoga, you need to create a great healthy body, and cross training is the only way to do that. So majority of my practice is yoga, but I allow for this ability to place body weight workouts in, or if you learn a little bit about contortion, taking off the extreme flexibility, you learn these ways to work small muscle groups like ballet or even your taekwondo. And these small muscle groups are what creates a healthy body. So yoga is sometimes a little bit compound in its movements where you're using large muscle base. And I think the same when I look at, when I just do yoga, I lose a lot of strength to do like a push-up based workout or, you know, other types of workouts. So combining the two allows me to be a lot more functional in my everyday life, but also a lot more healthy in my practice.
Yeah, I think it's very important. As you said, you need definitely different types of training, because then you get stuck in one line and you can only perform one art. And it's okay if yoga would be a competition, then I can understand. But even still, athletes, when they just compete in one sport, even these athletes train with different methods, and because you have to do it. I always bring that example. We're not in the 60s or 70s anymore, where all these athletes just train for their specific sport and then did maybe some push-ups and 20 squats or something. And that's is these days we have better techniques, better scientists, so we better use it all.
Yeah, and I think even like when I look back at my running, when I was running like in 2000, I would do 1 to 2 days of strength training. And I would do a water-based workout, which was running in the water to give active recovery, but it was still water-based. And then I would do sprint work, and then I would do endurance work, and then I would do home exercises. Like, it was a multifaceted program. It was never just run 100 kilometers a week. And I think a lot of people misunderstand that. You know, they're like, is that the only thing you do? And I think any athlete will tell you that they do numerous types of work. The base of their work is their main sport, but they have to incorporate other avenues to be able to create the athlete that they are.
And would you call yourself a full yogi or just an athlete?
I would call myself a human moving to her soul. I like to teach yoga, but I'm not mainstream. I like to teach health, fitness from the inside. So I'm not so good with labels as such. If you want to refer to someone as a yogi, that's fine. But I think the first thing to always reference a person is that they're a human, and they are creating work or profession in a sport or these types of, like, you know, you don't say, I'm a personal trainer, you know, it's the same as I'm a yogi. I'm Rihanna, and then I'm teaching in yoga and mental health and well-being and so on and so forth.
It's also, I think, because you have a lot of different interests. Some people, they may have just only one big interest, and that's okay. But people like you who have hundreds of interests, and then that's just a product of all that, I think.
Yeah, I think we all have, like, I think you have a lot of interests too, but I think not everyone shares their multifaceted interests.
Yeah.
And I think I started sharing that because, you know, I was healing and I don't want to wear a mask in this world, you know. I want to say, you know, I'm imperfect, I'm broken, but I'm growing, and yeah, I like swimming, and yeah, I like yoga, and I admire taekwondo. I would have no idea how to do it and look like someone fighting a spider, you know, like, but yeah, I have so much respect, really, anyone that's doing something, I have so much respect for, because everything takes work.
That's true, yeah. And speaking of healing, I mean, I don't know if you want to go really into details, and I know these topics are very complicated and long, but maybe can you tell the people a little bit How did you get over it with all the suffering and the past with with all the issues?
I think we live our whole life with issues. Let me just be sure to say that I don't think we're ever healed. I think we're healing and we're triggered, but there's two people in this world. One is triggered and lacking the ability to grow for whatever reason, whether you just don't have the conscious awareness or you're still mentally in it, not in the space. And it is triggered and evolving. And so for many years, I was triggered and lacking the ability to grow. And then I was triggered and evolving by using those triggers to grow. And that was meaning I had to humble my ego and say, well, okay, I'm not doing the meditation. I'm not doing the yoga. I'm not doing these things. So unless I start doing them, I'm seriously going to stay in this darkness. And it was about understanding that some of the traumas I assisted the growth in, and some of the traumas I didn't. But we can't put our placement on judgment and shame and telling the world what they're doing wrong. You know, we all want to fix this rail right now with COVID, right? And we all want to have a more of the life we had, or we don't want to see certain things that are going on in our culture, in our world, in our country. But the only way we can work towards those changes is by working on ourselves. And that's what I started doing. So it was like, yeah, hey, okay, I had an attempt on my life. I'm going to own that. And now I'm going to own it by working on the things I can do to produce a more positive mindset. So meditation, so breathing. So, and then when I have a bad day, I'm not going to punish myself. I'm going to say, okay, I'm human. I'm going to muck up a lot. I'm going to have bad days still. I'm never going to walk around this world like, hey, you know, I got it sorted out. You know, I'm going to say some days I can't handle this. I just can't do it. And I'm going to sit back and I'm going to wait for that to pass, but I'm not going to unpack there anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are these days like this, they always want to show, oh, everything is good. I'm so happy. I'm so fine. And that fake smile. And that's, I think, a part of the problem in this world. A lot of people can't open, or they don't want to open themselves. Mm-hmm. And also they don't work on themselves. And as you said, we only can improve the world if we improve. And if everybody thinks that way, the world will automatically be better. I mean, we can't control the power people in the world who control the world. And of course, that's a little bit different. But if everybody still improves, the world will improve. And even these, what people say, 1%, people who are very rich and control the world, even these people can't do much if everybody is in a unit and improves. So that starts with that. And most people don't want to improve themselves. They say it, they all say they want it, but they don't really want deep in their heart.
No, I think there's so many facets to that, you know, and a lot of it's just like social media is such a great platform to allow us to see where we're slipping up for improvement. So just simple things like if you're following someone that you don't like and you're commenting negatively, there's a place of improvement, unfollow.
Yeah.
If you are reading someone's post and they're upsetting you and you think it's about you, reality check, you don't even know the person. You therefore aren't included in this post. That's just their experience, not wrong or right. Here's what happened in their life. There's over 7 billion different views. You have two choices. One, to see that there's another way to live and other experiences. You're not the only version of life. Or two, unfollow again. So, you know, there's this ability to understand how powerful our choices are and how powerful our focus is. So, you know, there's so many people also that I follow, and there's some posts that, okay, I'm like, whew, you know, that's not for me, right? Or those words are like, I'd probably say that different. But as a concept of the person, I love them. Because every one of us has concepts that we don't like, but we seem to hone in on those concepts and then destroy the person for the beauty that they do have existing as well. So we also have another option, which is like, all right, I'm just going to go read this post over here today and I'll come back to you tomorrow when I resonate with you. You're not wrong or right. I know that I I burp after I drink Coca-Cola, and not everyone's going to say that's manners, okay? So we can leave that negative bit out of that person and still love the person as the concept of the whole, that they're great. So that's another thing, you know, finding the magic of the person rather than the negative. And so social media shows us where our direction of thought is and our focus is, and so many of us aren't even doing these small acts that really don't have any impact in our life. Yeah. But they have a huge impact when you accrue them.
Yeah, I think it's definitely very powerful what you said, and some people, maybe they should for sure listen to that. And also, social media can be sometimes very toxic. So people yes. jump, as you said, right away on everything. Mm-hmm. And it's also, it depends on how the day was, and maybe you need some distance and then you can look at it. And if not, if you're a person, I always say social media is for me 50-50. Some parts of social media are great because you can learn, you can have great experiences, and some parts, it's also, especially if your self-confidence is low, it can drag you down. So you just have to decide what you want to see.
Yes.
And some people also have too many people and their list, just they follow them to be friendly, yes. just to have them in their list. And I think it's not a good way to do it. If you really don't like what people do, unfollow. That's the best.
And I think the other thing is that, like, I don't follow like everybody I love because the algorithm is a bunch of non-helpful mm-hmm. information, you know. If you yeah. like one post and you end up getting that person continually, and you miss out on like the other hundreds yeah, yeah. of thousands you follow. So I tend to save the people I love, and that way if I forgot their name I can go back there, otherwise I look them up. And so sometimes also, like in life, we have to do the work, and in social media we can't expect for the algorithm to work for us. We can't expect for everything to be set in stone, you know, and spoon fed. We need to make these efforts. So, you know, sometimes we're like looking at someone, or they've got hundreds of likes, then their life is perfect, or they don't follow me, they don't like me, but that one story isn't truthful at all. You have no idea what the existence is behind that. What's really powerful is if you see someone like and write on your posts, then they're obviously connected to you, whether they're following or not. If they don't like every post, perhaps they've got a life and they're busy. You know, we're all trying to find these rules and regulations which tell you statistically they love me or not. But what about, let's appreciate each experience that we have rather than quantity, quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also social media just always shows us a little bit, but people don't know the stories behind it. They don't know if the person maybe messages private with that person, or has a video call or
exactly.
phone call, whatever, or met that person in life, or maybe in a regular basis. And then people always want to judge. They always want to say something, but they don't know what's the truth behind that. So I think the way you deal with it is very, very good. And speaking of healing, I think we can link that to your book. You also have a book published on Amazon. Let's talk about that, because last time when we did our podcast, we didn't really have a chance to talk about that. So yeah, I want to give you the chance now.
Oh, thank you. That's my book. This is something about working on being a human. So you are a human with trials and tribulations and beautiful and awesome experiences, and you're a work in progress. And these are tools that I've used that have helped me to continue to be a work in progress with a more positive direction, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The book is also a part of the imprint for my daughter, Leaving Footprints in the Sand. It talks about judgment, it talks about shame, it talks about sensuality and sexuality and the way we utilize it today and how we can use it in a more healthy manner. It's part of society, but we have healthier versions of it. It talks about owning your fitness journey, but understanding it comes from the inside out, that if you're doing it to look, you're never going to get a lifelong journey out of it. But if you're doing it to feel better, you're going to go on a beautiful journey, and it's not going to look the same, but it's always going to have a lot more rewarding effects internally to externally. Like, the most beautiful people are not the ones without the wrinkles or the nice curves mm-hmm. or nice clothes. They're the ones that make you feel awesome. the ones that love you just as you are.
Yeah, that's true. And I think when people read your book, there's a lot to reflect. So is it only on Amazon or is it also on other platforms?
There's a couple of platforms. Watkins Publishing is a small publisher that I have, and they list a couple of publishers that goes by. There's also Audible and quite a few options that you can download or purchase. And there's stores as well. Yeah. Some are selling it.
That's great. Well, when we finish the podcast, you can definitely send me all the links and I put it in the description for Spotify. But Amazon would be the main platform what most people would know.
Yeah, or you could just Google the name as well and then it will come up if it's a store near you or online in other platforms as well.
Okay, that's perfect. And also there was another topic I wanted to discuss. Mm-hmm. With you, how do you handle the situation now? I think it's very interesting for mothers. I mean, we in Europe, we're pretty safe and it's not that hard anymore like it used to be in March. But how do you deal with the situation now with the corona, with your little daughter and stress and then your training, but also training other people? I'm assuming you also probably did some Zoom trainings with your clients. So yeah, how did you manage all that?
I think it was just about finding the new normal. So a lot of us are grieving what we've lost, and that's why we're feeling so overwhelmed. And it's about understanding that this is all we have, so let's work with it. And I can honestly say it was one of the toughest times, you know, particularly for me, not being a German native speaker and having German homeschool was making me feel quite silly, you know, it taught me a lot about myself, how to hold compassion and space. And at the same time, there was many days that I didn't do a great job of putting myself together, you know, but I did the best I could. So you do what you can. And I guess I just want to stress it will never be perfect. It will be some days that are complete and utter mess. And then you have to learn to say, okay, that day can be in the past now. I learned a few things, how to manage myself better. Let's do better tomorrow, right? Just like the storms of life, they're always coming and going. The most important thing is to keep on evolving, so not unpacking any of those bad days. And I guess also it was a blessing because you got to spend time with people that you wouldn't usually spend time with. I mean, everyone got sick of social media, which is fantastic. So you got to sit with that friend or family member that you're stuck in the house with, and you got to go, oh, cool, let's play this game, or let's do this coloring in, or, you know, and finally get back to having real connection, because of social media also lacks connection is causing a lot of depression because we're hiding behind a screen rather than having real conversations. And so it allowed us to have real conversations again. And a lot of people have really enjoyed that, or go out if you weren't, were you able to go for a walk and just breathe life again. So it was very rewarding and taxing at the same time. And I think it was just about finding a new level of existence, which took a couple of weeks to settle into. And then you start to find your rhythm. So, you know, just like a new training session, you know, the first couple of weeks are horrible, sore muscles, you don't like what you're doing, then suddenly you get some reward in there and you're like, oh, I've got this. Okay, I can work from this moment. And that was what life was about, was a little one.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, the situation was very new and it's very stressful, and especially for parents. But from what I saw, at least from distance, you handled it all very well. So you can be definitely proud of you. And do you have anything to say maybe before we wrap that up, some advice or something you want to share with the people?
I just want to suggest to be human and to accept all the human experience. No, it's not good or bad. It's just this one's a bit harder than others. And I always like to look at life is the art of suffering well. So perhaps you have a bad day, and then the suffering well might be to call a loved one and be able to cry in their ear, or to take a break at the end of the day, have a drink and watch the sunset. The art of suffering well is knowing there's always beauty within the challenges and trying to locate them so you can suffer with a little bit more beauty in your life. Because at the end of the day, human experience, we suffer to grow as well. So it's very important, but it's about finding the possibilities, the the positives, the growth spurts, the beautiful in between all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you again nailed it on point, and you always have great sentences to finish. I think there's nothing more to say. Yeah, thank you so much, everybody watching and listening. And thank you for your time. I really appreciate that. And yeah, talk to you soon.
Yes, have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it from the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host, Khalid, and my guest today was Rihanna, and we had a great time. I hope you enjoyed it. Stay tuned, and bye, everybody.